I'd first like to thank all of you for coming together here at Mass and prayer for our Walk for Life, and in a very special way, not only to thank each of you, but to thank Bishop Elizondo, the Auxiliary Bishop for the Archdiocese of Seattle, who joins us, as well as the priests and the staff from the Cathedral in this great moment in the life of the Church in Eastern Washington. When I was a priest, I remember being at a gathering. It was a year of an election, and a rather pompous cleric of the Archdiocese, in remarking about the candidate who went on to win the presidency, who was a pro-life candidate, said he lacks gravitas. This is in stark contrast to a phrase that is often used, that someone looks presidential, or in the words of Shakespeare in his description of King Lear, every inch a king. In our first reading about Saul, that might be said of him, described as the most gifted of all of Israel, we are told that he is anointed by Samuel to be the first king. But as scripture commentators remind us, just because someone may look regal or even called by God does not mean they're all of that. We know that Saul will rebel against the grace of his anointing. He will overstep his bounds, defy God's commands, and have a terrible, tragic end. In our gospel this morning, Jesus calls Matthew, a tax collector, part of a despised class who worked for the Roman government and stole from their Jewish family members and friends and others in their town. Still, Jesus calls him to be an apostle, and through him the Lord comes into contact with other sinners. We see in Saul a call that was abandoned, and in Matthew, a call that is embraced. For us, the Lord is calling us to help build a culture of life, to discern his will, especially our younger people, to see what he has in store for you. For many people, however, they respond to this call neither abandoning it nor embracing it, as if it's on call waiting. But again, we're reminded that God has a purpose. He has given us gifts and talents. And the question we ask of ourselves in all things, not just in building the culture of life, but Lord, what is your will for me? How will I grow in holiness? Saul tragically tried to do his own will, and it ended in disaster. Matthew, in his humility, followed the Lord. He was given light, went on to become an apostle, an evangelist, a saint. Saul was known for his arrogance. It cut him off from God. Matthew would be known for his obedience, and it made him great. We gather this morning at Mass to begin this Walk for Life, a response to so many of you who've heard a call to discipleship, a call to holiness, a call to defend life. And I thank you for your patience, your perseverance, your dedication. Pope Francis, in his characteristic directness, has said all life has an estimable value. Even the weakest and the most vulnerable, the sick, the old, the unborn, the poor, are masterpieces of God's creation, made in his own image, destined to live forever, and deserving of the utmost reverence and respect. Human life is threatened today in so many ways that we often fail and sometimes refuse to recognize it. In addition to the tragic and the continued widespread scourge of abortion, we see so often efforts to promote assisted suicide, human cloning, illicit reproductive technologies, criminal justice policies that seek revenge over rehabilitation, human trafficking. You know as well as I that those who are proponents of abortion and euthanasia, embryo selection and research claim, and may very well have a motive of compassion. But in all these cases, the sad reality is, it is the strong who decide the fate of the weak. Human beings become instruments in the hands of other human beings, as Bishop Barra has said. By its very nature, human life demands absolute protection from conception to natural death. This is non-negotiable, and it is the reason why we must all help build a culture of life. If you have attended ever the March for Life in Washington or the Walk for Life in San Francisco, you see what is so promising and so very clear. It is the youthfulness of many, in fact, most of the participants. Clearly, people see what life is. It is sacred, and that is truth. However, though this is encouraging, what still is a challenge is the growing secularism that is rooted in moral relativism, where absolute truth and a clear sense of right and wrong are abandoned, and an effort to erase the very clear line distinguishing evil from good. In another gospel passage, Jesus uses the image of God's vineyard that needs to be cultivated, that we have a role to play in that vineyard. It's not remote. It's not somewhere out there. The vineyard that you and I are asked to cultivate is in our homes, our schools, our hospitals, our assisted living facilities, our prisons. And what will you and I do with that portion of the vineyard that the Lord has given to us? Will we give into a culture of death, or will we love the least and the most forgotten? Will we yield to fear and selfishness, convenience, and destroy what we've been trusted to build up, to protect, to nurture, or through compassion and selfless love and courage and a commitment to true justice for all, we will share in a plentiful harvest? Regardless of how small or seemingly insignificant our portion of this vineyard may be, you and I are asked to treasure the very lives that all of us are created in God's image and likeness. Every day we are given a choice to choose life. And how we do it, especially in this pluralistic society and in this part of the country in which we live, will never be easy. But we must ask ourselves, are we merely admirers of Jesus and his teachings, or are we actually followers who know that discipleship will not be easy? We are blessed with the gift of faith, though it does not mean we are without question. But it is in humility and trust and this gift of faith that the Lord enables us through the gift of the Holy Spirit to inform our decisions. And it is the faith that we have that reminds us of the value of each and every life, a life created by God and set upon this earth in order to reveal who he is. And it's only faith that can convince us of the value of all human life, the life in the womb, the life of even a terrorist, the life of a murderer, the life of someone who is poor, or an immigrant, the life of someone who is a sinner. This is the year, the extraordinary year of mercy. And it is an invitation for all those who at some point in their life, perhaps, have chosen abortion to be healed, to be forgiven, to be embraced by the love and the mercy of Almighty God. You and I are to speak and to live life, to help build this culture of life, to be pro-life. But it should never be confused with being insensitive or unkind or lacking compassion. We are called to be men and women of mercy, not condemning those who, for whatever reason, they have chosen to take the life of an unborn child. We're not to demonize those who disagree with us. Nonetheless, we are to teach in pastoral charity the truth that all life is sacred. It is in humility and faith that we're called to lead others to this truth. Pope Francis's words again go to the heart of what we must do. He says, all of us must care for life and cherish life with tenderness and warmth. To care for life is to give oneself for others, to have concern in my heart for others. Caring for life from the beginning to the end, what a simple thing, what a beautiful thing. So go forth and do not be discouraged. Care for life. It is worth it.